Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? Derek Evers, Chris Robbins, joining you on Nothing Urgent. I gotta start with something other than "What's up, everyone."
That's your trademark now.
I used to say "What's up, homies."
That's
not homies, honkies. But then I felt like it was sort of racist.
I have to begin this week's show with a correction and an apology, because last week when Eternal Summers were here, I referred to a pince-nez, which is one of those little. It's like a monocle, but with two glasses.
Right, right.
As a Nez Pince. I'm not sure why. I got that flipped.
You got it flipped.
So my sincerest apologies to...
All the Nez Pince
all the
wearers.
Nez Pince, or the Pince Nez. All the Pince Nez fans out there, I did you a grave injustice.
There's one guy out there that's wearing them. He was like,
I knew it!
Yeah. He emailed. And this is our editorial correction, you know, like in the bottom of the New York Times. I don't know if they do it. They have to have editorial correction.
But, you know, this isn't quite the New York Times.
Yeah. I don't read print much these days, except for in the morning. In the morning when, you know, I get the free one because I like to play the crossword puzzles.
Who's on the show today?
We have a really exciting show. Exciting because the band that's joining us today, Big A Little A, is actually I hold some ties to them. They were actually the first band I've ever signed, so I'm excited about having them in the studio today. And this is their first New York show. We'll get them John Atkinson, the main dude. They're kind of a shifting lineup of people, and they always have a regular array of all star New York drummers. And we'll get him in here to tell us what the current lineup is. But he lives in L.A. now, so this is like the first Big A Little A.
This is his homecoming show.
It is. And I want to say it's been around, man, like 5 years. But we'll get him to tell us the full scope of the situation. And joining us shortly, we'll be talking to the editor of BuzzFeed Sports, Ben Mathis-Lilly. I hope I'm saying that correctly. He can correct me when he comes on. We are going to discuss Aroid. Or A-Rod, as some people call him.
It's all foreign to me.
This is Chris's wheelhouse, the sports. He's a fan of the sports.
What wasn't he on the cover of the Post the other day? A-Rod?
He was. Interesting story. A guy I work with, his dad took that cover shot. It's Walter Yost, which is a very well-known sports photographer. He's Sports Illustrated's photo editor. But it's the first time he's ever made the cover of the New York Post, so he was very excited about that.
Can we all just admit that nothing is happening right now?
In news or just in general?
Just in general. That everyone's life should be in a state of peaceful drifting, slowly like a, you know, I would say a leaf.
Well, not the folks that work at Washington Post. I mean, their life's been turned upside down this week.
Oh, no. What are you talking about? That's going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. No one should be reading or writing or working or doing anything right now.
And why is that?
Because why should we? Because why keep up this like charade of, oh, you know, we're still caring even though, you know, we're writing about dead sharks in the subway, or we care about this steroid thing that's going to go on for months and months. Like, why are we getting so worked up about it now?
We're getting worked
up
about it.
Who cares? Aren't there more important things to worry about, such as friends and family?
Well, maybe that's the issue, is that, you know,
capturing that last warm breeze on a summer's eve.
Maybe there's not more to care about. That's what we're here to do.
Maybe all there is to life is A-Rod, is what you're saying?
I wouldn't say that's all there is to life. But I did make some pretty amazing trades on my fantasy baseball team that we can discuss later. I'm sure you'll be really excited about that. Speaking of having better things to do, there was something. Oh, yeah, tell us really quick before we get on the phone with Ben. Tell us really quick about, because I skimmed the internet. I wasn't working too hard today.
See? Well, clearly you're in the spirit of what I'm talking about.
What is the story of dead sharks on the subway? What did they ever find out? I saw
someone
the image.
Left a. For those of you who aren't New York listeners and Gothamist readers, someone left a dead shark I believe it was a sand shark. I'm not 100% sure.
It looked like one.
On the subway, and people took photos of it, and then they started putting cigarettes in its mouth and giving it Metro cards and taking pictures with it. And I guess the next step, logically, is that it has its own reality show, or it, like, you know, it's trying to buy a house, and then the shark has to go to, like, three different houses, one, like, in its price range, one that's, like, a little bit lower than its price range, and then one that's, like, slightly out of its price range, and then the shark has to decide which house it's buying.
But there's no, they didn't find out where it came from or anything like that?
Someone, no, I mean, some. I mean, come on, it's New York City. Someone just, who knows? Like, a shark on the subway is,
I'm just wondering,
makes
if,
sense.
I'm wondering if it is promotion for Shark Week.
Well, Discovery Channel released a statement saying that it would be a despicable thing of them to do if they did that, and which they most certainly did not. So, it's not a publicity. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe it's a publicity stunt for a company that sells dead sharks.
I know. All the people out there eating shark food.
Jimmy's Dead Shark Company. I don't know. No.
But no.
But again, that is what captured the most eyeballs on the internet today. Sadly. Or maybe not sadly. Maybe it's just the human condition.
Well, there was
we're conditioned to just stare at sharks
and the whole
Death
Grip story making its second round after they bailed on Lollapalooza.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, why are we still caring about that?
I don't know.
That was a week ago.
That's the thing, because they released, quote-unquote, a statement today.
What was that statement?
Their statement said that they were never, their contract never, they weren't obligated to play the show. The contract was actually for them to just play a recording while there was a suicide note on the screen, which, you know, I would have accepted as a, you know, a plausible explanation for them not being there if that only had happened in one city, but then they happened to cancel three other tour dates. So it leads me to believe that either they just didn't want to go, or again, it's a publicity stunt, which they are.
And again,
they are the masters of publicity stunts. This Randy side of you, I'm kind of you're like,
I don't think Randy is the correct choice of words.
We're gonna have to
do another correction next week.
I would say
acrid, maybe, or
aggro if we were on the West Coast.
Aggro.
Why are you so aggro today?
You know, it's just, I don't know.
Too much working on the internet.
I don't know. It comes and it goes.
Well, our next guest, our first guest, I should say, is he probably knows your pain as someone who works on the internet on a regular basis. We're joined by Ben Mathis Lilly. Ben, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And did I say your last name correct?
You did. You got it right.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to offer a counterpoint to the idea that nothing is happening right now. In fact, the Atlanta Braves have won 12 straight games since a Waffle House was opened at their stadium. And I'm not sure there is bigger news, more important news than that.
Do you have a favorite Waffle House hash brown order?
I forget the nomenclature, but I do the onions, peppers, and cheese.
Smothered and covered is with onions.
Yes.
I don't know about cheese. I think
smothered,
cheese is
smothered,
like,
covered, and I can't remember.
Capped is mushrooms. I don't know if I... Peppers. I don't know peppers.
Yeah, smothered, covered, and I can't think of the name. I love myself a Waffle House, to be honest. But that's interesting news. So are you a Braves fan?
I'm not, but it is actually unfortunately true that August is a pretty low ebb for sports, for news of all kinds, but especially sports news. So we were happy to have at least something capturing people's attention online, and that happened to be today. It happened to be Waffle House.
Yeah, and that's a positive spin. That's much better than the steroid scandal.
Unless those waffle makers are on juice, you know. I've seen those waffles. They're inhumanly large.
Well, you know... but the size of waffles should not come into play in terms of steroids when you're talking about a sport that has been plagued by steroids for, man, it's been like years now. I actually saw an article on BuzzFeed today talking about the author who broke the steroid story with Mark McGuire.
Mm-hmm. That was 15 years ago on I think it was August 21st. Associated Press reporter named Steve Wilstein happened to have noticed a bottle of a steroid called Andro in Mark McGuire's locker just by walking by the locker and seeing that there was a pill bottle and looking at it. You know, reporters are allowed in the clubhouse, so he wasn't really doing anything particularly untoward, and looked it up and found that it was banned by the Olympic Committee, and basically just wrote, "Hey, I found this," and that kind of was the pushed the ball rolling downhill with McGuire and Sammy Sosa and all the rest of that era's steroid PED users. You know, that said, that Jose Canseco had been in the league for at least a decade before that, I believe. So it wasn't as if Mark McGuire invented steroids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know, that just goes to the point that, you know, 15 years it's been in the spotlight, so to speak, not necessarily in the spotlight all the time, but definitely at the forefront of baseball. And I wondered what your take was on the whole situation with A-Rod, because I do feel like, you know, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not a A-Rod fan particularly. But I do think in this case he's both kind of, you know, the scapegoat for the steroid, you know, current use of the current players. And also, I think what Major League Baseball is trying to do is prove a point with A-Rod about his contract. I think it's more contractual than actually a punishment for his involvement, in the sense that they can basically, you know, keep people out of the game and not being paid for a certain amount of time, basically arbitrarily, because this isn't based on anything that is within their contract. So, you know, I was just curious what your take was on the whole situation. If you are, you think they're in the right to suspend him for so long, or if you think he's kind of the scapegoat in this situation.
Well, it is quite a mess. I mean, it's not a straightforward situation at all, which is kind of entertaining from a journalist standpoint or someone watching this go on, because really no side of the argument, none of the three major parties are really sympathetic. If you were putting this together as a movie, it wouldn't be made, because there's nobody to root for. Alex Rodriguez has now pretty demonstrably lied multiple times about using these using PEDs. Major League Baseball continues, as you say, rather than install a system that's actually catching players when they are using PEDs or trying to find out who are the distributors of PEDs, how do players start using them as younger players, you know, can they eradicate it on a minor league level. Instead of doing any of these things, they're kind of working backwards from this big clinic in Miami getting busted by a local All Weekly, you know, and trying to make this big deal of a 211 game suspension to prove their point, and without, again, doing anything to make sure going forward that this isn't going to happen again. And then you've got the Yankees, who are Yankees and their fans, who are all saying, well, we're sick of this guy. He's such a distraction. He's not earning his contract. When, of course, you know, this was a couple years ago that the Yankees, after there had already been reports of Rodriguez using PEDs, gave him one of the biggest contracts in history.
Right.
So it's hard, and it's hard to say from any point of view that you can really root for anybody, which does make it kind of more of an intellectually interesting situation, but can make it. I understand why there's some fans are tired of hearing about it.
Yeah,
there's not really anyone to get behind.
Yeah, the conversation is very tiring. But the situation with the Yankees and A-Rod specifically is that I think a lot of people like to blame the players. And there was, aside from, you know, obviously there was a lot of people using them, there was a lot of, you know, business people and a lot of teams that were benefiting from their players on these drugs. And I would be, you know, I'd find it really remarkable if the Yankees or Major League Baseball were not aware of Alex Rodriguez's past discretions. And then to do that and then sign a contract, like you said, that was that big, but also without any clauses, health clauses or anything like that involved, I think that has to go back onto the team. That's the only reason why I bring that up. I'm not sympathetic to A-Rod's situation. You know, he's made his bed and he's got to lie in it. But I do feel like, you know, from a Yankee standpoint, that's my bigger issue with it, is I feel like they're trying to weasel out of a contract that they could have probably gotten out of if they'd written it a little bit smarter to begin with.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that the Yankees and Major League Baseball are kind of trying to have things both ways, you know, and it's basically, well, we're gonna take advantage of these players and their accomplishments, you know, whether or not A-Rod would have been A-Rod without PD is a question that's kind of beyond my expertise. But certainly the Yankees were happy to have him on the team and when they won the World Series. And Major League Baseball, you know, I going back years, I'm sure you could find countless instances of MLB using him to promote the game, using him in commercials and kind of hyping him up as a superstar. You know, and then once the public opinion turns against him, now all of a sudden that they're on the other side and they're outraged. And I think that's you know, what you're getting at. And it really rings false to a lot of people, which is why, you know, I think this is just my anecdotal, you know, guess based on getting comments from, you know, readers on articles and just talking to people, you know, casually. I think a lot of fans still, they don't like PDs in the game. You know, they don't like steroids in the game. But part of the reason why I think the baseball scandal lingers where it doesn't in some other sports is just because of all the posturing on every side of the issue. You know, in the NFL and NBA, there are players suspended for using performance-enhancing drugs. But you certainly don't see the level of sanctimony from those leagues or from commentators on those leagues.
But
that whenever baseball is involved.
Yeah, that brings up another interesting point because baseball gets the brunt of the you know, hate regarding the PED use, and clearly there's a point of the game that kind of makes it really obvious, i.e. the home run hitting and stuff like that. Whereas basketball and football, I feel like they get overlooked because a lot of times it's basically physical matchups of people going head-to-head. But I remember Bill Simmons wrote an article not too long ago in Grantland talking about how in the NBA there's only been, I think, I don't want to misquote him, but I want to say it was something like 7 people that were suspended for PED use in the NBA, and only 2 were ever all-stars at any point in their career. And they were well past the point of being all-stars by the time they were suspended. In the NFL, you know, yes, you have suspensions, but you have someone like Von Miller, who is the Defensive Player of the Year, that goes suspended for 4 games for PED, but it's really not a story the way it is, like, with A-Rod missing, you know, a quarter of a season. And furthermore, you have situations like, you know, Peyton Manning going to Germany to get, you know to get to rehab. You have, you know, Adrian Peterson coming back from an ACL and MCL tear in like 6 months, and then running for 2,000 yards. No one questions it quite the way they do with the scope it is on baseball. And I do think that's a little bit unfair, but I, you know, it does seem as though baseball is trying to take the lead. Am I wrong in trying to kind of, again, be sort of an apologist for the sport, I guess?
No, I think that's an interesting point, and you've hit on something. I mean, I do wonder a lot why is it that baseball PED scandals get so much traction, you know, you know, the other day, you know, fans say they're tired of hearing about A-Rod, and we put up a post just, you know, the news, just for the breaking news that MLB is trying to suspend A-Rod for 211 games, you know, and that, people read it. People are, you know, some subset of people at least are interested, but we wouldn't even consider putting up a Von Miller post on BuzzFeed just because it's, as you say, is like not part of the consciousness of the fans. But I think you hit on something interesting with McGuire and the home runs. As a matter of, you know, symbolism, the home run is, you know, the fact that it happened to be McGuire and Sosa in that home run era, with those players being the ones linked to PEDs, maybe fairly or unfairly, possibly, you know, as everyone says, you know, pitchers could be using these substances too.
Yeah, I mean, well, no one really talks about the fact of how many dominant closers there were in that era as well, that basically their either career was shortened right after PED scandals erupted, or now that it's been slowly, you know, being removed from the game, you just don't see the same amount of dominant closers as you used to. And I would venture to say a lot of them were, that's part of the reason as well. And I think that's just, like you said, it's not as exciting. You know, pitching is on, you know, if you go to a baseball game and there's a pitching duel, it's not quite as exciting if you have, like, you know, both teams bashing a whole bunch of home runs.
Yeah, and I think just symbolically it was really probably disappointing to people. I mean, you know, I try not to be sanctimonious about it, but it was disappointing to know that McGuire and so which one that was, you know, as much as it gets maybe over nostalgized, that was a really fun time to be a baseball fan, and then it was a disappointment to hear, you know, hear about these things. You know, whereas the image of football has always been of one of kind of, you know, tough and edgy and raw, and so maybe it wasn't as much of an undermining of people's image to hear those things about football players. And as far as basketball goes, I'm just at a loss. I mean, I think I've been kind of waiting for the big basketball PED scandal for several years, and you know, it still hasn't happened. But it does seem, you know, you mentioned the German procedures. Kobe Bryant is famous for going over to Germany to I think it was his knee he got worked on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kobe Bryant is getting into his late 30s and is playing a fantastic amount of minutes still. So not that he in particular, you know, should be called out, but a lot of older players, Steve Nash, is like, there's a lot of older players who are playing a long time, and you know, you see human growth hormone can help recover from injuries, and testosterone can help players recover from injuries, and you think somebody must get caught for this, but it still hasn't happened. And to be honest, I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why that was.
Do you think in our lifetimes we'll ever sort of just accept the fact that athletes are going to take these substances and, you know, chalk it up to, you know,
technology?
Right. I mean, do you think we'll ever reach that point, or are we just so, you know, completely hypocritical and sanctimonious in our, you know, society that we just can't accept that these people are doing it? Or do you think it'll, you know, one day we'll have a game of baseball or a game of football where, yes, you know, these people are taking these things and the playing field is somewhat more level and it's out there in the open and it's not this big sort of
right. National
hand-wringing ordeal?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I have been thinking about that because I think a lot of writers and people who are close to the games are maybe, you know, tired of talking about these things and are might be ready to go to that position, but I just still, and this is only backed up by my feeling, is just that the typical fan, you know, not that I consider, let's say, my dad an overly sentimental person, but I don't think that he would be, you know, I don't think that he would be excited to watch baseball where there was a team doctor out there openly giving HGH to the players. You know, I just think something about that would still rub a lot of people the wrong way. But that said, I you know, it does seem like in the kind of like Netherlands heroin treatment way that maybe the least harmful way to deal with this is to have oversight of doctors who are administering these substances to players, and maybe that's what you might see in 30 years.
I remember. Go ahead.
But I mean, that said, I'm sure that there will still be other ways to bend the system and to cheat, and I think maybe, you know, it might just end, everything will end up looking like, it'll all end up looking like what the NFL is, where players do get suspended, and there is a certain amount of use going on, but just maybe it's thought of as more of a, you know, as part of the game as opposed to a scandal. I mean, the word scandal, it's just impossible not to use when you're talking about baseball. I find myself doing it inadvertently almost, whereas, you know, in football, these things are treated a lot like they would, you know, you'd treat injuries or any other kind of disciplinary problem. You know, a guy gets pulled over for driving 107 miles per hour with a pound of pot in his car, gets suspended for 4 games. You know, that's talked of in the same way as PEDs when that's not the case in baseball. Maybe that's where we'll go with baseball eventually. I'm not sure.
I remember, and this was a long time ago, probably, you know, before all this came out, but Mark McGwire was on The Simpsons, and it was the end of the episode. They made some joke about Major League Baseball being a conspiracy with satellites and everything, and Mark McGwire's line was, "You guys want to know the horrible truth, or do you want to watch me rip some dingers?" And then everyone cheered, and he started hitting home runs. And it's amazing how prescient that line was. So maybe it's just we don't want to know what's going on behind the curtain. Like, it's entertainment, you know, you don't want to see the sausage being made, you just want to picture these people in this sort of more genuine, innocent, you know, light of, hey, fair play, this is just people going at it, doing their best, and then going home and not injecting themselves with human growth hormone.
I think that's true for the short term, certainly, but I think that an analogy might be the NFL and concussions, which is, you know, it's, I certainly still watch football every weekend in the fall, you know, just as much as I did 10, 15 years ago. But the more that you see these former players coming out, you know, and or their wives of deceased former players talking about, when the family is talking about the suffering that they went through because of what seems to be brain trauma brought on by playing football, it becomes harder and harder and harder to watch football without thinking of that. Now, I don't know where that will end up. I don't know if that means we'll actually, you know, people will stop watching football. But I think that you can kind of suspend that for a little while. But let's say in 10 years, if, you know, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are suffering from all sorts of, you know, maladies brought on by steroid use, then it's going to be, you know, you're going to see those guys, and it's going to be hard to watch the game and just put it out of your mind. You know, not that I don't have, people certainly have the ability, fans certainly have the ability to suspend, you know, reality while they're watching sports, which kind of the point of watching sports, but the longer and longer there are side effects, the harder it becomes to ignore.
Well, I would say that Sammy Sosa looks like he's having side effects of something. I don't know if it's steroids, but he definitely...
He's got a great set. I think he's on Flickr or Instagram or something. He's got a great... got a great set of photos of him just standing by a piece of furniture and smiling. Something's happened. Yeah, something's happened to him.
Well, before we let you go, we have to move on to our next guest really quick. But before we let you go, what do you project will happen with A-Rod? Do you think he finishes the year? Do you think he gets suspended after a certain amount of time before the playoffs, or if the Yankees even make the playoffs? Or do you think he gets suspended sooner than that?
My totally speculative guess would be that he agrees to a settlement. You know, basically just because what I really would want as a sports writer and as a fan of spectacle would be an actual litigation between A-Rod and Major League Baseball, where all the evidence gets on the table, because I think that would be spectacular and really fun and interesting. But because I want that to happen so bad, I'm assuming what's going to happen is just kind of a quiet settlement, like it always does. You know, that maybe in a couple of weeks he'll say, okay, I'm going to sit out 100 games. Dead, you know, and then we never hear about it again.
That's my reality as a Mets fan. I always want them to win, but I just assume that it's never going to happen because I want it to.
Exactly.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you taking the time. I know this topic has been run into the ground, but we thought we could get some fresh new insight. So thank you again.
No problem. Thanks for having
me. Appreciate it.
And we'll be joined shortly. Actually, John is in the studio, John Atkinson of Big A Little A. We're taking it back in time, back to Derek's roots today.
How far back in time, Derek?
1973 for Big A Little A's Man Shake. No, this is actually, I think, 2008. 2006. So we're going to play a couple of Big A Little A songs, and then John's going to join us in the studio.
Cool.
Stadium itself is really beautiful.
So yeah, we're back. We're joined by John Atkinson of Big A Little A.
Hey, Derek.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
We so right before you came on, we were talking to BuzzFeed sports editor Ben Mathis Lilly. We're talking about A-Rod and steroids, and you're pretty avid sports fan. I see you tweeting about things sports related.
That's mostly what I tweet about.
Yeah. So are you a lifelong Yankees fan? You were telling us.
Yes.
But what about you? What do you feel about
Jersey? Rooted for the terrible Yankee teams for all the terrible years.
How do you feel about the Brooklyn Nets?
Love the Brooklyn Nets, man.
Nice.
I mean, well, it's weird because I feel like the team is actually being run. I mean, that it's really eerie in a way because it really reminds me all of a sudden of like the Steinbrenner era in the 80s, like with what the Nets are doing now.
Throwing like, money at the team,
just
you mean?
Throwing money at all these old veterans, like, you know, dealing. I mean, they dealt like what, like 3 or 4 draft picks for, you know, the Celtics. I mean, it's just draft picks, and you know, I mean, I have a lot more confidence in what the Nets are doing. Like, I don't think it's going to make the team end up terrible. I think this year is going to be awesome, probably. Like, it seems. I mean, it's, especially after the Kirilenko and like Allen Anderson, Sean Livingston, those are three great, like, deep team kind of guys, like 1 through 12, they're phenomenal.
Do you think that Kirilenko took a veteran exception deal because of some sort of mafia related involvement with their owner, or that the owner promised him some rubles on the side when he comes back to Russia? Although Kirilenko,
it's an interesting
I don't know
question.
If he's Russian. I feel like
he is Russian.
Okay,
he's from the town. I'm pretty sure he's from the town that invented, like the guy that invented the AK-47 is literally from the town that Andrei Kirilenko is from.
No.
It seems almost
that,
too good to
yeah,
be
that
true.
Sounds too
Dude,
good
have
to be
you,
true.
Have you seen, do you know about his back tattoo?
No, he hasn't.
He's got this sick back plate. I could see like the little bits sticking out from under his uniform a little bit. I was like, oh, he must have some massive back tattoo. What is it? I looked it up. It's this dragon from World of Warcraft, like, specifically. It's, like, this whole World of Warcraft backplate.
That sounds much more plausible than... I thought you were going to say it's, like, 2 AK-47s crossed across
yeah,
his back.
No, I mean, that would be badass. No, he's more... Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. He's got that kind of vibe where you can tell he's,
he was
like,
an amazing
into,
fantasy
games.
Basketball player, like, 5 years ago, because he was, like, every stat across the board.
Dude, he was a good one this year, too.
Anyway... We didn't bring you here to talk about sports. Chris has not said anything.
Not
this
giving
whole show.
A shit. Not giving a shit.
Chris are does you not. The one that doesn't talk about sports?
I never really. They just let you down, you know. I just don't.
I tell you what, this basketball season was crushing.
Well,
the ending of it.
I am a Bills fan, a Sabres fan, and a Mets fan. If you can't get over the letting you down part, there's no sense in even caring.
It's too cynical.
It's like in life where you know. Everyone knows that everyone, you know, everyone's going to die,
right?
Ultimately, but it's about the stuff that really happens that you don't, you know, the beauty of sports is that you don't know what's going to happen. It's like life in that way.
Yes, but isn't sports about the money?
Yeah.
It's like life in a way is about money, sadly.
I think that's like a second level aspect. I think sports is more about life than sports is about money.
Think about it this
way. Life is about money. To the extent that life is about money, the part of life that is about money is not much of the part of life that is about sports.
Okay, but like without money, or okay, so life can exist without money, but can sports exist without money? And professional sports cannot exist without money.
Right, but sports can. It's like music, man.
Sure, all right.
Professional, not.
That's what I mean, but that's what we're talking about.
Big A, little A is a money-losing endeavor, you know, and yet it continues to exist.
Well, we'll just talk about this. Sports, you're talking about 90% loser rate and only 10% win. In all sports, and, you know, I don't know, that's just
but
based
everyone
on, like,
makes money.
Everyone
that's,
makes
that's
money,
true.
Though. Right.
Man, we're in the wrong profession. Oh!
Hey.
Yeah. People banging on the windows here at Robert's Pizzeria.
They're pissed.
They're pissed. Well, it's because it's normally a date table, and this time it's two guys. So, and it's I'm saying that hey, it could be two guys, could be dating, but
they're wearing all these football pads.
It's clearly not. It's clearly not a date. But John, Big A, Little A. First of all, I told our listeners early on. Are you aware that you're Big A, Little A is the first band I ever had the pleasure of signing a record contract with?
I did not know that.
Yeah, you're the first band I've ever signed to a record deal. So that's my little.
You're the first person we ever signed a contract. Well, we put out that thing with Narnak, but I don't know what that was a little.
Whatever.
Shady.
Yeah, whatever happened. That's a little.
They have a PO box. They have an address now. I checked their site recently, randomly, and they're out in LA somewhere.
Yeah, because they put out a lot of records, but you know, I not recently, but they put out a lot of records during the time you were, you know, I know Lee Scratch Perry, they did that one record with him. And then it just kind of...
Coach Whips.
Yeah. Coach Whips, yeah. Pre-intelligence. Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
And Big A, Little A. And you guys have been on some great labels. But tell us about now when we were...
And we're going to...
Continue to do so.
Somewhat.
But we'll get to the current. I'm still reliving my past.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Okay, so the version that was playing, you guys had always kind of a rotating cast of people, so to speak.
Yeah, we've had a few different versions of the band.
And now, for sure. When we work together, Josh Benatti, who I know still does mastering out here in Brooklyn, so yeah, I've been in touch with him.
A lot of big records. He did the David Lynch record recently.
Interesting. Yeah, I know he does good work. Basically, my two go-to people for mastering are him and Sarah Register from Talk Normal. So, like, that's my wheelhouse for mastering.
Nice. Sarah, I still have your keyboard stand at my house.
If you're listening.
I think it's mine at this point. Anyway.
And then Aaron Wall. What? So, he moved to L.A.? Because the last
he's
I heard
out
he
in
was,
L.A., too.
He was working for Huge. I remember a design company where a couple
he still
friends
does.
Worked. So he's,
oh, you know dudes there, too?
Yeah. But
man, I know so many dudes there.
Do you work there?
No.
Okay. And then I should say, dude. I know dude.
What a huge company.
I know at least three dudes. And then my brother-in-law used to work there. It was a pretty lemony.
So wait, if he moved out to L.A., then if I may be so bold to ask, how come he's not involved in Big A, Little A, the current incarnation?
He is. We haven't played shows out in L.A. yet, but we work. I live in L.A. also.
Right.
So, we've been, you know, working on sounds, and some of the songs that we're playing out here are based on, you know, samples from Aaron, like ideas from Aaron, and I'm just kind of like the nexus for
the live show.
And we'll have a drummer out on the West Coast at some point too. Hopefully, we just haven't gotten around to it because he's just moved out there, and so but we'll be doing stuff out there, and I don't know. I feel like he's like the chairman of the board still. It's the only original member,
and then. Who do you have in the current incarnation? And when I say current, I mean you are in town to play New York. You're playing tomorrow night at Death by Audio, and then next Wednesday at McCarran Park.
Yeah.
What's the movie that's playing when you guys are playing?
Man, I think it's going to be The Neverending Story. The last time I checked the voting,
that big dog always creeped me out. I never trusted that big dog. You know, that you ride on in the sky.
Yeah, what's it?
Falcor.
The Neverending Story was one of those movies that, as a kid, you're like, "This is amazing." Then you go back and you watch it again. You're like, not as good as I remember.
Doesn't hold up.
It's basically a kid's movie. I did watch it, I think, a couple years ago and was disappointed. And I can't believe there's so many people voting for it over... I mean, I think second place, last I checked, was like Big Lebowski.
What?
Maybe
played
out,
because
but at least it's like
all the time.
A classic, right? I voted for Morats as a New Jersey native.
Another classic.
Massive.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It's really, really deep.
I can't believe
movie.
That, yeah.
But that's like in dead last.
Well, that actually could tell you what has happened to Williamsburg since you've left. So, you know, you've probably moved in the right direction going.
Well, I hear there's a lot of bridge and tunnel folks around, actually.
Well, in Williamsburg.
But I guess they don't
is.
Vote on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I need to start recruiting this Friday night.
Tonight is Speed, which I was also slightly slightly disappointed by. Just because of the breadth of Keanu Reeves' work, of all the things you're going to pick, you're going to go with that?
Well, that's
have they
bad.
Shown Point Break out here?
I think they might have. I was going to say
God,
that.
I mean,
because that would be the.
Maybe it would just depress people too much because they're like, I don't live.
And Patrick Swayze.
And Swayze.
Oh, man, he's gone.
Swayze,
you know?
Man.
That they did play Dirty Dancing too. Anyway, we're getting much too involved in
sure.
bad 80s/90s movies. What's, yeah, who's the current incarnation? I know you said Julian.
Oh, yeah. It's like greatest hits of some of our old drummers. Mike Collin, who played on the recordings you heard before on the record that Derek put out. Many years ago.
Game. Yes.
Game. And
I say, that's my Midwestern accent coming through. And it also has two A's in the middle, so.
Yeah, so lame. and then Hank Steamer, who played with us for a couple years in the interim after Mike, who also plays in Stats and writes for, I think, Time Out and Pitchfork about jazz and metal. And then we have young Julian Bennett Holmes, who... he's playing Fiasco, plays with Zulus, is playing. We were playing, oh, by the way, on Thursday, we're going to be playing second, in part because Julian has to go play in an orchestra playing the Rite of Spring later that night. he's really mysterious to me, man. He's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm playing this orchestra. Well, what? Oh, yeah, we're playing the Rite of Spring. I'm like, yeah, I've heard of that. That's, like, pretty serious.
Yeah, he's a very talented, like, classically trained type of talented guy. Like, and he's been that way.
Anything, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, he is an amazingly talented person.
Except he hasn't been outside of Brooklyn for more than, like, a week in his life or something
that
like
that.
That
is crazy to me. And his father's also a photographer, a pretty decent known street photographer. What's interesting is that when you have a name like Julian Bennett Holmes, you know both the mom and dad's last name.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good for stalking. Yeah,
that's true. Cool. So true.
So is this a one-off situation, or is there going to be more Big A Little A in the coming future?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more. We're I don't know. I mean, I don't know why it's taking us so long, but we got a new album coming out, which is actually a bunch of songs that have been recorded, some as old as like 2006, some we just finished last year. That's going to come out on Northern Spy in January.
Very nice. Yeah.
I'm real psyched to work with them. They seem real cool, and I think they're going to do good. You know, we fit in well with
some
of the
rest of
the roster. And then, I mean, we're going to be recording actually pretty soon with this East Coast version. You know, we're like kind of like an amoeba that's been split in two. And, you know, out on the East Coast, we have this really rhythm-heavy ensemble. Like, three drummers right now are like, phenomenal. It's so cool to see these guys play together. We played in June at Hillstock, which is our first show in New York in like forever.
Mm-hmm.
At Death by Audio Tomorrow is our first like indoor show in a while. But in preparation for that, we weren't sure how it was going to work. We just got together and we're like, oh, let's play this show. We got randomly, like the emails literally like, yo, John, like, I don't know if Big A Little A is still a band anymore, but in case it is, do you want to play the show? I was like, oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure if we're a band anymore, but we will play the show. and it worked out well. So I think we're going to keep playing shows out here. Me and Aaron are going to keep doing stuff out west and hopefully play shows out there. And, you know, it will be two distinct entities that are also the same entity and will feed into each other, but probably be different in some way.
Well, that's very exciting to hear. I'm glad to hear that you are still playing and performing.
Yeah, it's so rad to be back in New York and playing.
What made you want to leave in the first place?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know. I was in New York for a long time, and I was in a point in my life where I kind of needed a break from New York. I think in some ways, I didn't even really mean to move out to LA. I just like, originally I was just going to sublet my room for a couple months because, you know, I have a job where I can like work from home. And I was like, all right, I have this flexibility. Why am I going to like live in New York literally my entire life, or New York and New Jersey my entire life? And I just knew a few people in LA. So I was like, all right, like, let me give this a try. And I ended up finding like a great spot. Actually was living with my old buddy from Health, Jupiter, who we used to tour with back in the day, Michelle, who actually, our old booking agent, Michelle, who's Panache. Too busy to book us now.
She is busy, I'll say that. She has a lot of people on her roster
these
days.
It's incredible. We love Michelle. I mean, I'm just mentioning that, like, to joke around. I was with old friends with Derek. Because I remember when, I mean, she was just moving to New York when us up with her. You're like, oh, we know this really good booking agent. And, you know, she's moving out to New York and stuff. And, I mean, obviously she did and has been doing an amazing job with a lot of
OCs.
Bands.
Yep.
The OCs. Ty Siegel.
That comes back full circle.
All those dudes.
So how long has it been since you've played in New York? Minus Hillstock,
like, 3 years, and that was one of the last. That was one of the Secret Project Robot barbecues,
right.
The block parties. Before that, man, we probably haven't been playing regularly since 2009, and we did. You know, we'd done like a couple like international tours in the interim, but we haven't really had a regular presence in New York since 2009 or something.
Now I have we're going to bring it back again to around the days of Game.
Oh, the days of Game.
We have I have a good Big A Little A story. So the label that I worked for that I had signed Big A Little A was called Gigantic. And part of the deal with Gigantic is they had a recording studio that you could record at, and they had a van that you could tour in.
Oh, yeah, that van.
And van that had video games in it and also secret compartments in case you needed to stash things. But I do remember getting...
None of which we ever figured out.
I do remember getting a...
We couldn't even get the stereo figured out.
I do remember getting in the mail from a police camera...
Oh, wait. No.
We can't talk about
that? No, it's really embarrassing.
This has got to be pre, you know... I don't think the legalities...
statute of limitations.
Well, no, it's just embarrassing. I lost control.
Oh, is that? See, I didn't know that was the reason. I just thought it was something. Basically, was it the height of the van was too tall, or you guys
went through an arm? Yeah, we went through a one-way. It was like this kind of like gated street, and we, you know, were on our way to a show, and it was just frustrating. We couldn't find a way. We were going through. It was going up to Bard, and we're on some like back roads, and went through this, I guess, somewhat gated community area, and we couldn't get. You know, we came through. We couldn't find another way to get through it. So eventually, I just got out of the van and like tore off the arm of the gate. It was just made out of wood or whatever. But I was super pissed, and I don't like. You know, it's embarrassing for me to have had that much anger and whatever. And
I do remember that though.
I mean, I wish you still have that photo. It's the kind of thing I'm a little scared.
I know that's one of the things
I would love to. Do they have the photo of me there?
I don't remember if it was just you or if it was the van, but basically, it was the security. Camera shot of him like pulling off the arm to the thing so they could drive out
like in a total rage like
and the cops found out
no well it's just like the association whatever the gated area emailed them. That was the embarrassing thing is because we tried to take we took good care of the van, but then they were like the van's fine, but we got this like picture in the mail of you like housing this gate.
And that has to be one of the best, like, tour stories. Because, you know, you hear all kinds of horror stories of people driving-wise. I mean, there's obviously other things. But, like, you know, getting pulled over, you know, having to spend the night in certain places, sleeping in cars. But, yeah, there's not too many times you hear of people getting stuck in a gated community and having to rip off the arm to get out.
Yeah, that was a tough night, man. We were almost late to that show.
I didn't mean to bring up bad memories. That was supposed to be a fun memory.
It's fun. I mean, I'm glad you guys seem to have a pretty chill attitude about it. I was really sad. I was like, oh man, they're gonna think like,
Well, there wasn't too much that was very serious, too serious at Gigantic.
And yeah, in some way, I was like, maybe this will make them like respect us more. Like maybe Brian's gonna be like, man, like don't mess around with these guys. Like,
well, we gotta wrap things up here shortly.
Okay,
but I do want to say thank you for coming by.
Okay. Yeah. No. It was rad to.
And I want
delicious Roberta's pizza.
And definitely make sure that you keep us in loop of everything you got going on.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna be back on the East Coast every couple months for. I'm like here for like friends' weddings and stuff all the time. We just plan shows around that. And,
you guys should just Big A Little A should be just become a wedding band.
Yeah. No. We played at BJ Rubin and Fiona's wedding years ago.
Did you really?
Yeah. We did it, and they gave a split from. We recorded a new song, and Us in High Places did a split 7-inch. So all the guests of the wedding got. It was at Asterisk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
We did play a wedding. Yeah. Oh man, and somewhat ill-fated wedding, but it was a beautiful night.
Anyway. Yeah, the one one conversation I had, this is kind of odd, but again, it comes back to the OCs. Talking to, when I interviewed Peaking Lights, talking about their marriage, I asked them if they had a regular DJ or if they had like some sort of, and they said that they did have a wedding band, but they did ask the OCs if they could do their wedding, and they couldn't do it. Some of them were there as guests, but the whole band couldn't do it. And then they said they ended up having like a drone band play early on, and then they segued into like real wedding music for the rest of the party guests. So
I had a friend in LA that was going to get a Son of Ra to play their wedding, but ended up getting this like a sitar drone ensemble. Some LA stuff.
It's cool always, when I think about that stuff, I think it's awesome, and then I think about like parents or something like that.
Yeah, parents usually ruin everything.
But in the case of Peaking Lights, they said that their parents were very, for lack of a better word, hippies.
Drone friendly.
Yeah, very drone friendly, as we are.
Is the show tomorrow sold out?
No, I'm sure not. Dude, okay. There's not going to be that many people there, so please, like...
That's the worst promotion you've ever... There's not going to be that many people there.
But, like, it's you know, there's going to be plenty of room.
And the show next week is free?
Yeah, the show next week is free in McCarran Park before the children's movie Neverland Story.
Although, I don't know. I don't want to say that. Yeah, I was going to say there's a prime... Yeah,
if you can reduce, I was gonna say, if you can somehow reduce yourself to a childlike mindset before the show.
You'll probably enjoy us more, too, actually. But that is not a good thing to do
Your filter's on tonight.
I know. It's, yeah.
I like it.
Last week it wasn't.
clattering around.
Well, John, thank you again.
Thanks, Derek. Anytime.
And
go Nets.
Yeah, really quick, before we leave, I just want to put out a little plug for our host, Heritage Radio. They're doing a fundraiser this Sunday at Roberta's. It's from 5 to 9 a.m. There's a happy hour from 4 to 5. You can look it up on...
5 to 9 p.m., don't you mean?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Well, 4 to 5 a.m., they're going to have a happy hour.
You said a.m.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
This is New York, man.
That's right. Never sleeps. there's going to be Delaney Barbecue and a giant pig roast, an auction, a whole bunch of stuff. But if you have time, go to heritageradionetwork.com or .org. Either one. Plug them in there. One of them works.
Oh, man.
No, I think .com works, though, as well. I think it redirects.
They both work.
See? I was right. You can go to either one. Yeah. That was Joe, our producer, filling us in. It will be a really good time. Me and Chris will be there. You can come shake our...
You can come tell us off and tell us how, disgraced you feel when you listen to us.
To our show.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'll go see Big A Lily.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
What a great weekend plan.
It is. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.